James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. You may be seated. In the first chapter of James, he deals with trials. The reality that life is full of trials, even for those who know Jesus Christ. Just because you accept Christ doesn't mean your trials are going to go away. Someone asked me, in fact, it's been asked multiple times throughout the years, but I'm a Christian, why do I keep having trials? And the best scriptural answer I can give them is, that's called life. Because that's what happens. And when life happens, when trials come, the Bible gives us a path through those. Now, the reality is our worship plays a vital role and a vital place in how we overcome and how we live with that. And so he moves from this understanding of trials, and I'm going to give you the two phrases. First one found in verse 19, second one in verse 21. The first phrase is, so then. That connects everything from 18 back to verse 1, and then verse 21, the word therefore. Now what he's saying is, because of all the trials and the stuff that we faced in life, because of all of that, and therefore because of what we need, who God is, you and I are to bring humility to our worship. The trials of life are there to remind us that we don't know it all. Now, we had a moment Friday night at the ballpark in Sevierville, and the Smokies were playing the Biscuits. Now, I've been going to those games for a while, but it just dawned on T and I, and Nathan was sitting there, why would anybody call themselves the Biscuits? We couldn't figure it out. So what did we do? We pulled out the phone and we Googled it. And it took a while, but we finally figured out that the Biscuits comes from the idea, since they're from Mobile, that they're a team in the South, and the great thing to do when you're in the South is eat biscuits and therefore they're the Mobile Biscuits. You didn't know that, did you? Nathan says, but Dad, well, can't you just picture a biscuit running around with legs and arms? And I said, no, we're not going to go there. There are things in life we don't know. And there are things in life that we cannot just Google and find an answer to, right? That's why humility is required in our worship. If we worship without humility, if we worship by saying, now many of you have done this, I've been guilty of this. Well, you know, I like that song. Or I don't care for much for that song. Or, you know, I like that style. Or I'm just not really into that style. I just don't like that style at all. We've all done that. As if worship was about us. Listen to me. Our worship, whether it's here corporately, whether it's in our lives daily, walking through life, is nothing about us. Everything about worship is about God. It's about who God is, what God is doing, and what we need God to do that we may not even know ourselves. So with that, he says, hey, we've got to bring this idea of humility, and not just the idea of it, but the practice of it. That's why in verse 21, he says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Can I share you a little insight? You cannot worship God corporately or during the week without the word of God. There's a reason why we need to read the Bible every day. There's a reason why we need to hang out with the Word of God every day, because we cannot experience the reality of God, nor can we know what God is doing apart from His Word. You say, well, but we've got the Holy Spirit. That's why I titled this In Spirit and in Truth. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together to show us what God is up to. You got that? So humility comes into play that as we enter into that worship, whether during the week or right here, we need to understand how we maintain that. Number one, we yield all our wants. That's why he says in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We have wants, but in worship, we understand that our wants are nothing. That what we're desperate for is what God has for us. And so we yield all of our wants. And I want you, when you fill that in, I want you to really draw a circle around that word all. You can't just say, well, I'm gonna yield some of this, but I'm gonna hang on to some of this. That's what's wrong with the American brand of Christianity. We think that we can partially yield without yielding all of it and still get God's blessing. Remember, God cannot bless sin. Amen or uh-oh. God cannot and will not bless sin. So we have to yield those things to Him. Yielding means we are literally let go. Though we could hang on to them, though He gives us the choice, we're saying we lay them down so that His life is what we seek, so that it's His life that we are looking to implant into our life. Number two, we accept that we know nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, preacher said you don't know nothing. Now turn back to your neighbor and say, that's what he said about you. That's what you said about me. That's what I say about you. We don't know nothing. Remember Sergeant Schultz? All right, how many of you loved Hogan's Heroes? Thank you very much. All right, I love it. I watched some of those, Celeste being out. TV was all mine, and I just, you can find them, you know, online and just watch them, and I was watching a couple of them yesterday and having the time of my life. Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing. Now think about it. When we are experiencing the reality of God, the only thing we need to know is God. But when you look at life and you look at all the different dynamics of life, humanly speaking, we have to come back to the point of saying, we don't know anything. We can't figure it out. It's beyond our ability to grasp. That's why through faith, we need to trust God. Now, in that humility, by saying we know nothing, that means we keep from violating that which the Pharisees did. Remember the Pharisees, they came to God thinking they were something, thinking that they knew something, and they fell flat on their face. Acknowledging that we know nothing is putting us in that position of humility so that we're dependent upon what God has for us. In your prayer life, as you're walking through your days, when you gather here, come to God by just simply saying, hey, I know nothing. I know nothing. It never ceases to amaze me the more I open and study the Bible, even this week with this passage, the connection of the two phrases in 19 and 21 were something that I had never really put together. Yeah, I knew the first part talked about trials, but seeing that significance, you never can get all of God's word. And there's always something else that we need to get from it. That's why it's important in our humility to say, hey, you know what? We don't know it all. We don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, I don't know. The worst thing that's happened in life these days is that we think because we can Google something that we can get any piece of information that we need. Here's the problem. You can't Google and get God's will. You can't do it. You say, well, but I just need some information. You don't need information. I don't need information. We need transformation. That requires not Google, but that requires humility by saying, hey, God, I don't know it. I need to hear from you. Underneath where you filled in for number two, write this. Every day, say, every day, say, S-A-Y, God, I need to hear from you. As you're opening up his word, as you're spending time in prayer, you can even take your Bible and as your prayer, just read a chapter. God loves that. Just simply say, God, I need to hear from you. Why? Because I know nothing. Accept that. That's hard to do in an intelligent, educated state, is it not? When we pride ourselves in the fact that we now live in the most educated time of all time. And isn't it amazing that the more educated time that we live in, the more problems we have? You ever thought about that? There are more people graduating college today than ever before. More people graduating college today than ever before. Some of you who are sitting on this side of the room, I'm not going to say why I'm calling you out, but in your day, it was a rare thing for somebody to be able to go to college. In fact, remember the old show, The Waltons? How many of you used to watch The Waltons? Okay. It was a rare thing for one person out of that family to go to the university. That was a big deal. Now, today, everybody goes, and yet look at the problems in life. They're getting worse and worse. When we come back and say, God, we don't know it all. Therefore, we must hear from God. We don't know it all, so we must hear from God. Watch how these verses flow. Verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Because you may not know what's going on. You may miss what's happening. And the wrath of man does not, you need to underline those two words, does not produce the righteousness of God. When you and I panic thinking that what we see is what we know, and therefore we respond, we miss what God is doing. And we think, hey, we're justified. We've got it. Well, here's the way it added up. It logically makes sense. The longer I study the Bible, the more I realize this truth. The Bible defies logic. You know why? Because God defies logic. His ways are not our ways. He works beyond the human ability to understand. You wouldn't have miracles if everything was logical. Why would you need faith if everything just worked out logical? It does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, because of the so then, how you respond to the things in life, therefore, here's how you entrench yourself in humility. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Wait a minute, you say, well, I'm not a wicked sinner. I'm not a wicked sinner. Do you realize that all sin is wickedness? You say, well, but I'm not the adulterer. I'm not the murderer. I'm not the thief. I do things that are not good, but I'm not that bad. All sin is equal. Sin is anything that is displeasing to God, right? Anything that's displeasing to God. So when he says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, he's talking to us to come back to an understanding that we've got to hear from God. Why? Because we need to get ourselves cleaned up so that we can receive. And the only thing that keeps us from receiving from God is sin. If you want to block God in your life, if you want to totally miss him, just hang out with sin. But humility says, I don't want to go there. Humility says, I need God. I've got to hear from God. Therefore, I'm going to respond and I'm going to clean things up. Why? So that I can receive with meekness the word of God. It's reminding us that the most important thing that we have is to hear the word of God. Do you cherish the word of God? Do you cherish it? I got a call the other night and somebody was asking a question and I said, well, let me look it up. And they said, well, no, you don't need to go find your Bible. I said, I got my Bible right here. They said, huh? I keep a Bible by my chair. I keep a Bible by my side of the couch. I keep a Bible by my side of the bed. I don't have one in the bathroom, okay? You don't get spiritual edification from there. But I keep a Bible handy. It's everywhere. And worst case scenario, it's on my phone. Why? Because we need the Word of God. You see, meekness says that we realize we're desperate. And we realize that we don't deserve getting it. Meekness says, hey, God's giving us a gift. And it's that word that saves our souls. It's that word that gives us the path that we're to walk down. So then, therefore, because of the trials of life, because of how tough life is, because it doesn't make sense, one of the key ingredients to worship is humility. You say, well, what does that look like? Humility is brokenness before a holy God. Humility is us saying, God, we're worthless. We're desperate for you. We can't find anything apart from you. God, here's our junk. Clean it up. We call it what you call it. It's filthiness, it's sin, it's wickedness. And in humility, we give that to you, humbly asking that you forgive and you restore. Here's the picture. You can't accept Christ apart from humility. Did you know that? The Bible says pride goeth before the fall. You can't accept Christ apart from humility. And as it is in the establishing of our relationship, so it is in our worship that every day we just simply cry out, and we looked at this word a few weeks ago, Abba Father, I need you. I'm desperate for you. I have nothing to give, nothing to bring. I need you. Would you stand, heads bowed? Eyes closed. What is it in your life that's keeping you from humility? What is it in your life that is robbing you of experiencing just the awesomeness of God, that's wrestling with and blocking the humility that God so desperately asked for? Let God clean that up. We're all sinners. We all need to be washed. Let go of that. And then gather in meekness to hear that word that is life-giving, life-changing, and life transforming. Father, all over this room, and for anybody that can hear this, Father, break us. Bring about humility in our lives. Father, as we worship you through each day of the week, as we come together and worship corporately, Father, may humility be present so that we can receive from you. Father, there's some here that need to let go of some things. There are some that need to trust you as Lord and Savior. They've never really done that. There are some that need to unite with this, your church. Father, this is your time. May our response be pleasing to you. And may your will be done above all.